Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Somebody is blessed. Hallelujah. Once again, you are welcome. And you know this week is one of our busiest weeks. Amen. This week is your breakthrough week. Come on, can I announce somebody's breakthrough? Can I announce somebody's breakthrough? Hallelujah. This is your 235 breakthrough night. And there's going to be an overflow in your life. Hallelujah. Psalm number 23 verse 5 is 235. For many who may not know what 235 is, it's Psalm number 23 verse 5. I want us to read together as a church in a prayerful mood. Amen. Can we start? Everybody go. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I mean, did something hit you? No, you did it. You have to say it till something pops up in your spirit. The Bible said that when Mary had an encounter with Elizabeth, the baby in her womb leaped for joy. There is something in you that when the word hits you, it has to pop up. Is somebody here with me? So we are reading it for the second time, and I want you to read it till you feel something within. Everybody go, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup. Expect it. It is yours. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word. It gives light to the simple and it brings us into the place of knowing you and making you known. We thank you that this is not by our will and all by our power, but your spirit that is demonstrated through your word. Holy Spirit, come give us revelation, understanding, illumination in your word. Holy Spirit, we have gathered just to hear your voice. Come magnify Jesus on this altar like never before. Jesus, we ask you to take the center stage. Speak your word and teach us, Lord. If you don't teach us, we will never be taught. The things that you teach, that makes us know. We therefore thank you that you are here to teach us. We bless your name, O God, for your love that you have shared, and even your presence that is with us. And I want everyone that is here and also watching us say a big amen on that. Please, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been talking about overflow for this month. We've been talking about 235. And this is what God has said to do in our lives as a church, as a commission. From now till next year, throughout next year, God says that I should tell you that he's going to set a table before you. Right in the presence of your enemies. And he's going to anoint your head with oil. And there's going to be overflow, which is an abundance in every aspect of your life. Your overflow signifies your prosperity in Christ. Your prosperity in Christ. In 3 John 2, according to his writings to his brother Gaius, he said that, my brother Gaius, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. There is a prosperity that we have in Christ. Among other things, the things that we come to enjoy and to benefit and to inherit and to have and live for is prosperity. Prosperity is much more deeper than having wealth or riches. But prosperity, like the word peace in the Hebrew, which is shalom, also means completedness, also means wholeness, also means joy overflow. It also means soundness of mind. To be prosperous means to have a well-being to the extent that nothing is lacking in your life. Nothing is lacking in your life. You have more and have it in overflow. So Jesus, upon redemption, has made us to prosper. Your prosperity is grounded on the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the seating of Christ. Can I come again? Your prosperity as a child of God, which goes beyond just having money or having riches or wealth, but prosperity which signifies your wholeness, your well-being, your completedness, your peace, your joy, is founded on the premises of Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his seating. You know, many a times we don't add the seating. But I believe that now the role that Jesus is playing in the life of every believer is that he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you. Can I get into a little bit of that? Now, many of you are trusting basically on your ability to do something in Christ. For example, you think that you're living because you can pray better. You think that you're living or you are making it because of what you do. But you should know that for everything that we do, it takes the grace of God to empower us to be able to do it. Now, there are times that you pray and you don't even see answers. You don't even see anything happening. And there are times that you are not praying, but yet you see things working for you. Now, the difference and the secret is that there is someone who is sitting by the right hand of God. And he is our intercessor. Aside the Spirit of God that is with us, which is interceding with deep groanings, Jesus is seated at the right hand side, also praying for you. Is somebody here with me? All that he does is to pray for you so that you will be able to make it. You will be able to do what? To be able to move forward, that your prayers will be answered before the Father. That is the work that Jesus is doing. Is somebody here with me? So our prosperity is founded on the basis of Jesus' death. Jesus' death. The Bible says that even though Jesus was rich for our sake, he became poor, that through his poverty, you and I will be rich. It is an exchange of heavenly riches with an earthly poverty. It is an exchange. His death is an exchange of heavenly riches or heavenly wealth to an earthly poverty. As we were poor, Christ came to die so that through his death, you and I will be rich. I came to let you know that you may not have money in your pocket, but so long as you are a child of God, you are loaded. Yes. Now, can I come back again? You may not have that which the world may think as wealth. Probably you've not even been able to build your house. You've not been able to acquire a car or have a fleet of cars or have some factories or some things working for you. But then once you are saved and you are a child of God, there is an inherent blessing and there is an inherent prosperity that is over your destiny. And it is that inherent blessings that would culminate or would show up in physical things that people would know that indeed you are blessed. So we are blessed spiritually, and the blessing we have spiritually is what shows up physically. You can't be blessed physically if you are not blessed spiritually. Is somebody here with me? So Ephesians 1:3 says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Now, just to fast track the things that we have shared and also learned this week, the question is that, why will God bless you? Why will God bless you as an individual? Why will God exchange your poverty and give you his riches or his prosperity? Why will God do that to you? What is in the mind of God that will make him make you rich? Why do you think God will bless you above every other person? Why do you think God will bless you because you are his son? God would bless you so that you can be a blessing. We must understand that God blesses primarily so that we can be a blessing to the kingdom and to the world around us. This is a fundamental truth. I want you to understand that if you are not a channel of blessing, you will not be blessed. God will bless you when he knows that you are a channel of blessing. We saw this with the life of Abraham when God called him in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1 to 3. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1 to 3. God called Abraham and told Abraham to leave his father's house, to leave his father's country. And now he said, and the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show you. Unto the land that I will show you. Get out of thy country. Get out of thy kindred. Move to the place that I, the Lord, will show you. So he set off going without even knowing where he was going. Is anybody here with me? Now, verse number 2 says that, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Wow. God is calling Abraham, sending him to go, and he says that, I will make you a great nation. And they say that, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That shall be a blessing. That shall be a blessing. That shall be a blessing. Say, I will be a blessing. Now, I will be a blessing is different from bless me. You will be a blessing is different from bless me. Many a times, instead of us praying to be a blessing, we rather pray to be blessed. Is anybody seeing the difference? Instead of you praying that, God, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. And that is very, very significant. Make me a blessing. Because when you are made a blessing, you never run dry of resources. But when you pray to be a blessed, when you pray to be blessed, it means that you always receive and then it gets done. It gets finished. But if God is making you a blessing, it means that he's making you a container out of which his blessings will flow. Is anybody here with me? And the Lord said, I will make thee a blessing. Verse number 3, let's see what happens. And the Bible says that, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So everyone that comes to this world, that come on earth, you would only be blessed because Abraham was blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. So the question again is that, why do you think God, among every other people, will make you a blessing? Unless you and I come to have a mindset that, Lord, make me a blessing. I just don't want to enjoy blessings. I want to be the blessing. I want to be the blessing. I want to be a channel through which the blessings of God flows. I want to be a channel through which your blessing will flow. And I want to believe that the container that contains the oil will never run dry. And that is the point God is bringing you and I. That you and I will not just be receivers only, but we will be a channel of blessing. Your amen is weak for me. Hallelujah. Now you must understand that before that can happen, or before that can be possible, you and I must be able to have a commitment to kingdom promotion and endeavors. You and I must have a commitment to kingdom promotion endeavors. Now God is blessing you because he wants you to be a blessing. In that case, you must be a blessing to the kingdom of God, and you must be a blessing to the world in which you find yourself. You must be a blessing to the kingdom of God that God has brought you in, and you must also be a blessing to your world. Somebody is blessed. Now we see in Haggai chapter number 1 verse 4 to verse number 11. I want us to quickly read it. I want us to read Haggai chapter number 1 verse number 4 to 11. The Bible says that, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lies in waste?" This house, underlined, is the house of God. So the people gathered themselves, and then they were living in nice, sealed, paneled houses. Their houses were so wonderful, so powerful. And I mean, they were enjoying living in their houses. And the house of God, the Bible says, was lying waste. Let's push on to verse number 5. We are going right down to 11. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Tell somebody, consider your ways. Go with me. Verse number 6. "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earned wages to put it into a bag with holes." Because they have neglected the house of God, and the house of God is lying in waste, this is the consequence of their life. Now you say that, watch your ways. The reason why things are not working well for you is that you have neglected the house of God. Ye have so much, but bring in little. It means that all your work and all your effort goes down the drain, and nothing is coming out of it. You drink so much, but you don't get intoxicated. You don't get drunk. This is not the matter of fact that drink but don't get booze. That's not what he's talking about. But he's saying that even though you drink to your satisfaction, you drink, but yet what the alcohol could do in your life, you're not getting it. Because nothing is working for you. Are you understanding me? Even alcohol is not, you are not responding to the effect of alcohol. Is somebody here with me? I know people who cannot sleep, and they normally take, sleeping tablet, but yet their sleep is taken away. I pray that you are not the one neglecting the house of God. Is somebody here with me? Yes. And then the Bible says that you are clothed, but then you don't feel warm. So these are the consequences of the fact that they have neglected the house of God. Now continue with me. Verse number 7. Now he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." For the second time, he says what? Come on, shout it on me. "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord." So now God is giving them a responsibility, an antidote to their poverty. The reason why nothing is working for them, the reason why the people are poor, is that they have neglected the work of God. Now God is giving them the solution or the antidote to their situation. And he said that go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. Praise God. Until he is glorified in you, nothing of yours will see glorification. Push it. Until God is glorified in you, nothing that you do will see glory. Nothing. Your work will never see glory until he is glorified or before. Your life will be a standstill until God is glorified. Hallelujah. Now continue with me. We will be done. And he said, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blew upon it. Wow. And why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is what? Waste. And you run every man unto his own house. I pray that this will not be your portion. Anytime you neglect the kingdom of God, you neglect your opportunity to prosper. Take it from me. Anytime you neglect the house of God, you neglect your opportunity to prosper. Your prosperity is linked with your commitment to the house of God. Don't take it for granted. Your commitment to the kingdom of God is linked. Jesus wouldn't say that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. The kingdom is that which exposes you into every riches, true riches, and every true wealth. Is somebody here listening to me? He said, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Wow. Just one neglect. Just a sheer oversight. Some of you may see it. Oh, it's an oversight. Even if I don't partake in church activities. Oh, I mean, it's normal. At least God knows that I'm busy. If I don't get involved in whatever is happening, after all, there are people there to do it. Who told you? The Bible says that the dews will be stayed from you. And I've come to understand that dews don't just fall. Because even if there is no rain, you still have dew. And I've come to think of it that the dew is what God gives every day. No matter the season, whether we are in dry season or we are in a rainy season, the dew will never fail to come. And the dews of heaven is what nourishes and makes us to flourish. The dews of heaven is the blessing that God releases every day in your life. And can you imagine staying your life without the dews of God, the blessings of God? The psalmist says that morning by morning, new mercies we see. Where do you think the message of God comes from? Whenever you wake up and you see the dews falling, it's an indication of God's message over your life. The Bible says that I will cause the dew to stay from you, and your earth will refuse to yield her fruit. So everything now is left to your strength and your ability, Benjamin. You start work out things on your own, make things happen on your own, and in no time, you get frustrated and you get tired and you come to a standstill. Meanwhile, there is just a little secret that if you had given attention to and you have committed yourself to, it would have saved you a lot of trouble and a lot of time. When God wants you to be committed to something, it is not for his interest. It is for your interest. Is anybody here with me? Now the Bible says that I'll call for a drought, and upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon which, I mean, we are talking about overflow here. The ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Wow. somebody is blessed. So once the people started doing what is right, there was a turnover. There was a blessing. There was a changeover. And God started blessing them. Again, in Malachi chapter number 3, I want to emphasize on this. This is very important. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 6 to 10. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 6 to 10. Somebody is blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody getting blessed this morning? Now the Bible says that, "For I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Nobody said amen on that. "Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. And I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" Today, God is calling somebody to come back on track, to do the things that you used to do. Your love and your commitment for the things of God. It is not for naught. Serving God is not for naught. It is not a privilege that you give to anybody, but it's an opportunity to be blessed. Am I speaking to somebody here? Now the Bible says that, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But say, wherein have we robbed thee?" He says, "In tithes and in what? In offerings." Will a man rob God? And I believe they were wondering, how can we take AK-47 and ammunition and start, in fact, God cannot even be seen. So how then do we rob God? We are not armed robbers. After all, we do what we think we can do. I mean, after all, we are not robbers. When it's necessary, we give. When it's necessary, we commit. When it's necessary, we come around. When it's necessary, it's done. Hey, will a man rob God? God says, "You are a tithe." Is anybody here with me? Yes, you are armed robbers. You are armed robbers. How? Because in response to what he said earlier on in Haggai, "Because you have neglected my house. You have neglected my house." How do we keep the house of God? Through our tithings and what? Our offering. Not only that, also through our sacrifices. Our sacrifices. On Wednesday, I touched on that, and I'm not going to touch on it again. Amen. Somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. Now, today, I just want to quickly touch on one of the platforms through which we receive overflow. One of the platforms through which we receive overflow in response to our giving, that is Kingdom Project Platform. Say Kingdom Project Platform. Oh, somebody say it louder. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, I've already indicated Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. And last week by revelation, I was trying to expound and expose unto you, the fact that when we give unto God, or when we seek after the kingdom of God, as a child of the kingdom, you are already blessed. Have it at the back of your mind, and any giving that you do, any seed that you sow, is not going to make you blessed. You are already blessed in Christ. No, come on, can I push it better? Say, "I am already blessed in Christ." Because among the things that we came to inherit in Christ is blessing. But then, look at what Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And all these things, and remember he started speaking about the things we need, which pertains to life. He talked about shelter. He talked about clothing. He talked about even food. Are you understanding me? And later on, he said that when we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things shall be added unto us. Now, the added blessings are the blessings that when he gives to you, the things that you didn't work for. So, in Deuteronomy, we understand that God will bless us with vineyards that we did not till. God will bless us with homes. We will live in homes that we did not build. God will give us opportunities that we never prayed for. Now, how is God going to do that? God is going to use someone to do it for you. Now, there are things that God has already provided that is an inherent with you. And as you walk in obedience and by faith, you begin to walk in that blessing. But he's talking about added blessing that will make you feel fulfilled here on earth. For example, to live in a very godly home or goodly home, a home that, you can talk about it, splashy home, to live with good cars. There are things you desire, there are things you need, there are things that you pray about. He said that stop praying about those things. Seek the kingdom of God first, and I'll cause men to give those things to you as an added blessing. So your giving does not make you blessed in any way, but your giving activates your helper to bless you. Is anybody here with me? Yes, I think it's in Luke chapter number 6, verse number 38, where he also talked about the fact that we should give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and God will cause men. Can we read that scripture? Everybody go with me. Now he says what? Give. No. If God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing, what is he going to give again? There's nothing else God, under this circumstance and under this atmosphere, this world, will ever do. Everything that God has to do for you, he has already done it. No, can I push this? Whatever you will ever be or you ever receive as a child of God, Jesus is not now going to die on the cross again. He has already done it on the cross. It is finished. Are you understanding me? Now what is left is what you enjoy here on earth. Now give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. Now everybody go with me. Everybody go with me. Shah! Is it God? The reason why men are stingy on you is that you are stingy to God. Write it and drop it. Hashtag me. Yes. The reason why men are stingy, just one opportunity you need, just one approval you need, just one opening, just one door, somebody just holding your hand, somebody just leading you, and you know this can be done. It can easily be done by the person. Do you know that there are times that your helpers are unwilling to help you? Another times, in most cases, your helpers are not willing to help you. Meanwhile, they are the ones God has destined for you to be helped. And this has been happened in scripture. And the day I got into that revelation, I was like, wow. I wonder how Jacob will hang on to the angel and say, I will not let you go until you bless me. It is possible that the angel was reluctant in blessing him. Because if you have really come to bless me, then bless me and go. But this is a situation where the man says, let me go, for the day breaketh. I want to leave. But if you came to bless, why don't you bless and go? But Jacob said that, no, if I don't hold on to this guy, he's going without my hold. Meanwhile, he was sent to meet him right at that point to bless him. But then even the angel was unwilling to bless him until he became wild. Am I speaking to somebody here with me? So there are certain opportunities you are missing, certain blessings that men must give and offer to you. And it's like he's not responding. Some of you go to the extent that he's a demon. And on Pewasem, he doesn't like you or she doesn't like you. And it's all kinds of, you begin to read all kinds of spiritual meanings and all that. And you resort to prayer. Pastor, pray that this man will bring our wedding date. He's always postponing. Hey, he's always postponing is what you are saying. You have taken your application and then you know they are employing people. Interviews have started. You have not been called. And you think it's normal. Listen, God, the script, Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. Oh, and if you have the King James with red inscription of our Lord's statement, you will know that this was Jesus' statement. He said that shall men give unto your bosom. Listen, every blessing you need is here on earth. That pertains to life. Cars are not in heaven. Are you with me? Buildings are not in heaven. In fact, we have a better buildings there. But for your overflow life here on earth, for you to walk in abundance, for you to walk in wholeness, for you to walk in satisfaction, for you to walk in love, for you to walk in joy, for you to walk fulfilled, the secret is that you already have the inherent blessing. When you sow seed here, you are not telling God to bring a friend and saying Bank of Ghana's treasury and come and put it in your account. Somebody has to bless you. Somebody has to point you to the way. Somebody has to show you the direction. Somebody has to lead you. Somebody, God will bring an angel to your business. God will have to organize partners, organize customers, organize people to come. That is the secret. So when you give to the kingdom of God, when you give to the support of kingdom projects, this is what happens. God calls men to give unto your bosom. Now look at it. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured again unto you. If it is God that is blessing you, he blessed you in an overflow. He said God is able to do exceedingly far more abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He does it in overflow. But because men are giving it to you, the proportion you give is the proportion he calls men to give you. Now listen, your blessing is tied with someone. Kaya. I said your blessing is tied with someone. And God will not activate that blessing until he sees your commitment on this house. So those who think that you don't have, you forever remain not having. But I pray that from today the word of God will change you. When we ignore kingdom promotion opportunities, we begin to suffer financial stress. When we ignore kingdom promotion opportunities, we begin to suffer financial stress. We read it from Haggai chapter number 1, verse number 5 to 13. When the people ignored the house of God, we saw the stress that had to come on them. The saddest thing is to work and not to see much. To do all the hard work. You know, some of you, you are working hard, but little comes into your hands. And that is a curse. I pray that that curse be broken today. Now, your amen is too weak for me. We have an example in the life of King David. The Bible says that, and David walked, give me 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3 to 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3 to 9. And that will be done very soon. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, verse 3 to 9. Let's see the example of David. If you are there, say amen. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God. Come on, underline. Because I have set my affection to what? No, push it further. Because I have set my affection to what? Tap somebody and say, have you set your affection to the house of God? In other words, how bad do you love the house of God? How well do you love the house? What is your desire? In fact, David is some something else. In fact, when it comes to him and the things of God, nothing comes between them. He said that, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God, I have of my own proper good. Of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Moreover, and above all, that I have prepared for the holy house. Keep on driving me. Verse number 4. Even 3,000 talents of gold, and of gold, and of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver. To overlay the walls of the houses with all. Keep running. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver. One man. And for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Now the last verse says, then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of the thousands and of the hundreds, and with the rulers of the kings, worked and offered willingly. This is a secret to prosperity. Walking in kingdom prosperity. Your love for the house of God. David, you know, at a point, he had a strong desire to build God's house. God said, no, you have many blood on your hands. Therefore, I will not allow you to build. But then your son Solomon instead will build the house. Now, David said, even God, if you are not allowing me to build, I'm going to provide for everything that will be used. Look at somebody with a heart. God said, don't build. Many of us, it would have been an opportunity for us to use our money. If I want to build, and God, you are saying I shouldn't build, then let me lavish my money on anything I want to. Now, am I speaking to people here? But the Bible says, David made available everything that is needed. He prepared in advance so that when Solomon became king, everything that was needed for the house was in place. What heart do you have towards the house of God? We are here enjoying. The other time, a child came to me. As a matter of fact, the mother had just started coming to church. And previously, they were with the church. And where they were, the Sunday school, I think was a very wonderful place, and the children loved the place. But because the mother was moving to this place, it was like the children also have to love the place, love this place. So we're talking, and the child said, Pastor, by here your children's service, you don't have air conditioning. The adults have air conditioning. was like, wow. So I had to promise him that I'm going to build an air-conditioned children's service for them. No. You better clap and do it well. Come to think of it, a small child knows that probably per the situation and environment, we don't think about them. We come, we are enjoying nice air conditioning, and they are sitting just under. They are rather supposed to really be enjoying. Praise God. And therefore, God is calling for people like you. We have mothers, we have fathers, we have potential fathers and mothers, and we have people who love the things of God. He says that we must make available that which is needed to complete that project for the children. And as you do that, God is going to bless you. How does God bless you in this case? Remember, there's a difference between the blessings. This time, he will cause men. Because whatever he will do, he has already done it. That he will cause men to give unto you. Just one man's obedience will turn your financial fortunes around. I pray that may this be yours. So commitment to kingdom promotion project guarantees continuous flow of financial blessings. Commitment to kingdom promotion project. What is kingdom promotion project? Like what we are doing now. In fact, as a matter of fact, I have halted throughout this year any project that I'm doing for myself until I have finished this project. Because I can't see how I have to find comfort for what I will enjoy and then children come to church and not have a place. You are just sitting under unconfined environment. You don't have teaching materials. Your place is not, you can imagine the teachers are really going through a lot to let them at least learn something Sunday by Sunday. Is anybody here with me? Now, as we commit to Kingdom Promotion Project, it guarantees our continuous flow of financial blessing. Exodus chapter 35, we saw an example in scripture. Now let's read 36, 1 to 6. When the people, after they left Egypt, the Bible said that the things, the gold, and then the ornaments, the goods that they had, they were asked to bring them into the building of the tabernacle and the building of the temple. Praise God. Now the Bible says that then wrought Belzari and Ahoriab and every wise hearted man. Say every wise hearted man. And in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all the manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord has commanded. Praise God. And Moses called Bezalel and Ahiram and a very wise-hearted man and in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come and work to do it. Hallelujah. And they received of us all the word which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary. Where did they get the offering from? Come to think of it, where did they get the offering from? When they were coming out of Egypt, the things they took from the Egyptians is what they brought as an offering. When you go and work and God gives you favor and you get blessed with substance, he expects you not to keep them at the bank but to bring it into the house of God for the work to go on. Yes, it may sound weird, but that's the word of God. And upon obedience, you receive. That's why some people, they don't pray
too much. How many of you have seen people like that? They don't pray too much. But yet everything, that is why, listen, the world sometimes make fun of the church. Because we have relegated everything to prayer without wisdom and thinking. We think that prayer, yes, prayer answered all things. Prayer does a lot of things, but not all things. Even Jesus said that we should pray and watch. The aspect of watch is not part of our dictionary. It's not part of our thinking. All that we need is pray. You need money. You need job. I won't go to school. I won't go and open my shop. Customers are calling you. I'm praying. No wisdom. Say no wisdom. That is why the world make fun of us. Because we are putting square pegs in round holes. We are doing things at the wrong time. Is somebody here with me? No. If God is to bless you, among other things, he will bless you through the work of your hands. And I told you yesterday that your work becomes the basket through which he gathers your blessing. Tell somebody, find something to do. Somebody is blessed. Hallelujah. So they brought all the offerings for the service of the work of God. Hallelujah. And they brought yet unto him free what? Is it on your screen? They brought what? Free offerings. Every morning. So if you don't understand why we take offering every Sunday, somebody's blessed. Let's finish it up. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. Somebody's blessed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let's finish up to 6 and then we are done. And they spoke unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. I pray that in this season of 235, you will release more than is needed. I said you release more than is needed. 6. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained. What a heart. They loved God to the extent that they brought it and brought and brought and brought and brought and brought and brought. And after there, Moses said, are you? Announcement was made. Nobody should bring anything. They were actually restrained. Take my offering. Say, no, we have had enough. I pray that God is bringing our church to a level of overflow. God is bringing us to a point whereby we will give and give and give and give and give and give and give until God says, you have given more than enough. And listen to a secret. No matter how much you give, you can never outgive God. You think you have given much, but God gives better. And he gives much more than you have given or you will ever give. So as you are giving and giving and giving, God, because he's a much better giver than you, will overflow you. Amen. Somebody's blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. So promoting the gospel with our resources, commit God to supplying all our needs according to his riches. Anytime you are committed with your resources to the kingdom of God or to the gospel, God does supply all your needs. Final scripture, Philippians chapter number 4, verse 15 to 19. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 15 to 19. Philippians 4, 15 to 19. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and what received, but ye only. I pray that that will be your portion as well. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. What a blessing. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing unto God. And because of this, it says the 19, and my God shall supply. If you are reading it, you are receiving it. Everybody go again. But do you believe that? Do you believe that? We are coming into a time and a season where you are moving from lack to abundance, from scarcity to plenty. You are moving to a level and a realm where you don't struggle before you eat, where what you will eat, what you will wear, where you will sleep will never be part of the things you ever think about. Now, can I push this further? Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's an awesome atmosphere of supernatural blessing hitting somebody right now. There's somebody here, the Lord is speaking to me that from this time forward, everything that has to do with your rent has been catered for. Somebody is worried about your rent from January. The Lord said that it has already been taken care of. Now he said that my God shall supply. Oh! Not some. Not a portion. Are there people with a need? God will supply. How many of you believe this is the word of God? Do you believe him to supply? Do you believe him that his resources never run dry? Do you believe him that he will never fail you? His tap never runs out like your tap at home. He said, my God shall supply all my needs according. According. Say according. The word according means not specifically to your need, but according to his riches. His riches overwhelms your need. His riches overwhelms your need. And he gives you more to overtake your need. And this is the simplest definition of how I want to make it done to you. That God is going to supply. It's like giving you a blank check. The check is signed and sealed, but no amount is written on. And I don't know how you feel. If I'm to bless you, And I told you last Wednesday that a check is as good as the one who signed it. A paycheck is as good as the one who issued it. So, God is issuing you a check. And this check is not according to your resources. Not according to even your need, but according to his riches. Which means that you have a check in your hand and you decide how much you draw from the account or the resources of God. Today you can make a decision how much you take from God. Every morning when you wake up, you sign. $100,000, $50,000, $80,000. You know, I'm saying this so that your expectations will be high. I'm not going to say 500 cities or 1,000 cities. Why? You will eat it and it will go. No. I pray for somebody today. Yeah. Now your amen is as we go. Yeah. Be on your feet.
We trust that you've been blessed with the Word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.